on Cape Talk.
It is now 16 minutes past 9 o'clock and it's time to catch up with Gavin Gray in London for this weekend's edition of the UK Report. And Gavin, good morning to you. We start, of course, with the latest in the developing story of the coronavirus.
Yes, Africa, and I'm afraid, like South Africa, people here getting very, very concerned. We've had panic buying, stores being emptied of obviously the hand sanitizers, the face masks, but also food, some non-perishable items. The stocks are getting low, according to supermarkets, as people sort of try to think, well, if I'm going to have to work from home, if I don't go out much, I'm going to need food and lots of it. So there's big concern about that. The government here is still pretty much in the contain phase, but that's getting, I think, more and more now into another phase they're going to have to look at. And that's quite simply because at the moment, the numbers in the UK of cases are rising, but the containment of the tracing and isolating of cases and their close contacts is looking just less and less successful as cases are popping up across the UK in rapidity. Germany and Italy are, incidentally, the worst off in terms of European cases. Italy in particular now has more than 1,000 cases of coronavirus and has had a lot of deaths as well. So obviously big concern from them about that. But with regard to the UK next phase, well, that's what the government's looking at. And the next phase is to try and delay it. And the reason the government wants to try and delay the spread is when it basically considers, you know, it's not going to be able to contain it. So now it's going to try and delay it. That is because the National Health Service and most of our hospitals and doctors get really busy in our winter. And of course, we're coming out of our winter now. And bed occupancy at the moment in hospitals is running at 96%, I think, Africa. And so in other words, there really isn't the much of a capability. But if they aim to try and slow down the spread of virus, that might mean that they would encourage home working. Well, obviously, already lots of big companies have told their staff not to come in here in the UK, but also the closure of schools and the limiting of large gatherings. That could be next here in the UK and across much of Europe. So I'm afraid it is a pretty grim situation.
It truly is. And in the meantime, British aviation experts are saying the failure of the biggest regional airline in Europe, Flybe, could be the start of more casualties.
Yes, I mean, anyone that's got any shares or any business dealings will have been looking at the global markets with some concern. Absolute devastation there across the world, wiping tens of trillions of US dollars off the value of their shares. And here we get a really obvious company, an obvious industry that's going to be hit, the airline industry. And the biggest regional airline called Flybe, based here in the UK, sadly went into administration. And a global airline industry body is warning that actually plenty more could follow. And the reason, of course, is people are reluctant to be in confined spaces. So airports and more certainly anyway, airplanes are not good for that. But then, of course, well, where are you going to go? Because there are certain countries now that I think we've seen ticket sales to absolutely diminish, including Italy. I've seen photographs on social media of planes going to Milan, for instance, which is normally a busy international hub, and they're literally leaving with three or four people on board. Now, that's going to hit the airline industry very hard indeed, and the global industry airline warning that the financial hit from coronavirus could easily hit £90 billion this year. So a massive, massive hike on that, and that could see many other aviation businesses teeter on collapse. Industry experts are reluctant to give the names of airlines, and I'm not going to do that either, but we are talking some fairly big names under scrutiny there too.
Well, let's return to the topic of Brexit for a minute, and there remains serious differences between the UK and the EU after the first round of trade talks.
Yes, so the first week has been completed. There's going to be a break, and then they'll all meet again, but this time this side of the channel. The UK has a team of 100 negotiators, roughly mirrored, I suppose, by the EU stance. But already there are what are said to be very serious differences, as you say, between the two. Big differences are going to be over fishing. The UK wants its fishing rights, its territorial waters back, which it lost 40 years ago, to open them up to the rest of the European Union. And that will really cause a lot of concern, particularly to France and Denmark, who have huge shipping fleets, and they are regularly in British waters fishing. Another one, of course, is financial services, so lots to deal with there that the UK in the City of London has a major presence in. If they're not allowed to deal across Europe, that'll be a huge concern. The UK government spokesman said there were significant differences, but the talks have been constructive. These are going to be tough negotiations, and this is just from the first round, but we now have a good idea where both parties are coming from, and the points of difference have come as no surprise. So the UK has warned, though, that it will walk away from the talks in June if there is not a broad outline of a deal in place. That's caused huge concern both to Remainers here in the UK, but also to some industries and to the EU, in that if the government is playing hardball, just how hard is it prepared to play?
Let's finish off with the related story then. Government departments spending more than £4 billion on preparations to leave the EU.
Yeah, almost 80 billion South African rand. And it's the first time really that we've had a figure put at this. And this comes from the National Audit Office, the spending watchdog for the government. And it says this 80 billion rand was spent on staff, external advice and advertising. The Treasury and government says all necessary funds were made available to ensure the country has prepared for leaving the EU. Critics say that this money has been thrown away in a bid to paper over what is a mess, in other words, Brexit. But the National Audit Office has said, look, in my report here, we're not making a judgment. We're just saying this is what's been spent. And plenty of people will also point to the fact that, yes, it's a lot of money, isn't it? £4 billion. But at the moment, Brexiteers would say, well, we spend £350 million a week spending to be in the EU, and at least we're going to stop that. So in effect, it is only 12 weeks spending. The figure is slightly exaggerated because we do get some of that money back, but not a big proportion of it. So plenty of people are now analysing where this money's gone. One of the biggest losses, incidentally, was some £50 million paid to ferry companies and £33 million paid to Eurotunnel, who were fearing a hard Brexit and that we would effectively have borders that needed massive investment and people in order to prevent the borders seizing up.
And there we'll leave it. Thank you very much, Gavin Gray. We'll chat to you again next week, Sunday.